In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was going to say, I was going to wait till there was a mighty rushing wind, but the pipe organ is working, so there was, wasn't there? Think about that one. There you go. Some years ago, early 40s, we had an Archbishop of Canterbury named William Temple. He only served a short time, as his life ended shortly after he started, within 2 years. He said this, "The supreme wonder of the history of the Christian Church is that always in the moments when it has seemed most dead, out of its own body there has sprung up new life." Amen?
Amen.
As we look at the book of Acts this morning, that's exactly what we're seeing, is yet another, well, maybe the first moment, then we have seen many others like it since. So what has happened is everyone is now gathered. His disciples are gathered. Jesus has ascended into heaven, as we heard from the children's lesson. That happened Thursday, a week or so ago. Not exactly, but that's when we recognized it. Then the concept is that they're here alone. They know something's happening because they've had these encounters with the risen Lord, and some other people have too. But the majority of the people now gathered in Jerusalem are there for this Jewish festival. It's a harvest festival. It comes in a couple of phases. This is sort of phase two. The first fruits of the wheat harvest is what they've gathered for, and it's a pilgrim festival, which means they are called to come to Jerusalem. And that's why we have all those wonderful names of people from all the different places, which Miss Morgan did a spectacular job with this morning. I just smile when they get those readings and say, "Thank God, I don't have to do it." But she got through it pretty good, and really good, actually. And I'm glad it was her, not me. But that's just to show us how many different types of people are there from so many different places, and they're speaking different languages. And here we have the disciples of Jesus. All the majority of these people maybe even heard of Jesus or about this movement, but they think the movement is dead. And then we get to chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." Amen? The Spirit gave them ability. And then we get the list that was handled so well earlier, so I won't bore you with it again. And we get to this next part, down to verse 11. And the people who are there are saying, "In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean? What does this mean?'" And of course somebody goes, "What does it mean? They're drunk. They're out of control, obviously. Maybe they're still mourning the loss of their leader." Who knows what made them say that, but I suspect it was just completely being uncomfortable with what they were seeing and hearing. They were just not sure what was going on. And I'd have to say, what an excellent question they asked. What does this mean? Well, isn't that the question we could still be asking ourselves today? What does it mean? And some of us may think that maybe, you know, maybe we're drunk or maybe we should be. I don't know which. But the fact of the matter is, their response had to do with the fact that it couldn't mean anything other than something worldly. So they wanted to take this incredible act of God and turn it into something of the world. Just sort of, let's just dumb it down a little bit to something very basic to explain it away rather than recognize the fact that the Spirit of God is actually moving right in front of us. And that's exactly what happened. And then the real act of the Holy Spirit took place. And I've read this many, many times, and I've realized this last week, this is really the most amazing act of God that we have seen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe second to everybody speaking different languages. But Peter, you remember Peter. Peter doesn't ever seem to get it, does he? I mean, all through the Gospels, he's the one that doesn't get, "Oh no, don't wash my feet. You can't wash my feet." Oh, no, you're not good. You won't be crucified. You know, get behind me, Satan. This is the way Jesus spoke to him. You remember Peter, right? Talks before he thinks. Well, after this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter stands up. And suddenly Peter seems to get it. Did you notice that before? Peter stands up with a raised voice. He wasn't calm. He wasn't quiet. Now these people have gathered because they've heard this wind come by. Some of them saw what had happened undoubtedly, but they certainly, all these other people are now hearing the word of God in their own language. And the person begins to question it. And of course, he's still Peter, right? So in a loud voice, he immediately answers the person who was being a little snarky, as a dear friend of mine would use the term. He goes, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Now, he didn't say there's no chance my brothers and sisters would be drunk. It's just, it's too early. And I think 9 o'clock might be too early. For some of us, it should just never be. But the fact of the matter is, he answers back, and then he does the most amazing thing. Peter, who often seemed very confused about what was happening and what Jesus was doing, this understanding of Jesus' very own crucifixion, resurrection, the servant concept that he was trying to display just days, you know, before, with the washing of the feet, and Peter not understanding, this Peter says, "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And then he begins to tell them, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In that moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter reached back to the prophet Joel and explained to all of those who were there to hear that what God had proclaimed through Joel the prophet was happening now. Now. Now, sometimes we like to be nice in our lectionary, but Peter went on. He even went so far as to look at all these people and say, "Oh, and by the way, the Messiah that came, that had the outpouring of the Spirit that Joel speaks of, that was the Jesus you crucified outside of the law." That's bold, don't you think? Here are all these people gathered. Not only is Peter standing up and with a raised voice telling them these things, he went so far as to step on their toes, amen? He was getting it, and he was empowered. And I know that on this particular Sunday in our tradition, sometimes we hear the term that it's the birth of the church. This is the day we recognize the birth of the church. I'm not fully in alignment with that concept. The birth of the church, those who followed Jesus Christ, began prior to his birth, when the first person chose to follow Jesus, and that was Mary, the first one to accept him. And then he gathered followers. So when the followers were gathered, the church was building already. What's happening on Pentecost and what we are recognizing today and remembering today is that this is the day when God breathed the Holy Spirit into his church and empowered us to do his will, even at the level of taking very often confused Peter and giving him great clarity and great strength of voice to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Amen. That's what today is about. That's what this place is about and has been ever since this moment back in the first century. But sometimes it slides away from us, doesn't it? But we can't let that happen. We need to hold on to this truth, brothers and sisters. Let's not dumb it down to something of, well, you know, it just sort of marks the birth of the Christian church. No, brothers and sisters, this marks the strength of the Christian church, the power of God that indwells us so that we can continue the work that Jesus himself was doing in this world by his strength and not our own. That's what this is about. That's the direction that we're going. And I have to say to you, here's some prophecy for you. Maybe I got it in a dream because I'm an old man. But the fact of the matter is, I believe, without a doubt, that this Pentecost will be the most important Pentecost in the entire history of Holy Innocents and the Christian Church. I believe that to be true. And this is why. How many of you have heard that in this country now, less than 50% of people consider themselves Christians? Have you heard that? It's a new statistic. How many people remember when it was 80? How many people remember when it was higher? Is Holy Innocence dead? Is it dying? No. We are coming through a pandemic. When this pandemic started, do you know what the panic in the church was? How will we survive? How are we going to keep it together? How are we going to find the money? And brothers and sisters, some of the body has fallen away. Church buildings are for sale, if you want one. But I'll tell you what, not this one. Amen? In fact, just the opposite. In the midst of the pandemic, when everything was supposed to be fading away, this part of the body of Christ, with the movement of the Holy Spirit, decided, let's go ahead and pay for it. Amen? So what I say is this. If you are in a congregation that you know isn't dying, in fact, we may be growing. I think we might be growing. What do you think? You know, got to make sure the choir's back there. I can see it. I can prove it in all aspects. How and why? In the middle of the time when the church is supposed to be dying and dead, and all the reasons of the world are saying that we should be, we're not. Because we are recognizing the fact that this is God's will, not ours. We should actually be excited about the statistic. I've been a priest for about 10 years now. And one thing that I discovered when I got into the church years ago, as a layperson, and it strangely didn't change immediately, it still hasn't to some degree, is I would meet people that were in church. And I remember very well this one particular conversation. I should probably tell you, when I went back to the church, the one thing I told my wife is, if nothing happens, I'm not going to keep going. Just so you know. Don't say stuff like that in front of God. You see what it did for me. But I wasn't going to go back to church and hate it. I wasn't going to drag my butt in there and sit into a pew and go, oh, God, is it over yet? You know, I'm waiting. Then we get to the peace, and I'm going, we're getting closer. Yeah, and then everybody receives communion. Your new life is breathed into you. You thought it was because you were coming to the end. It was probably because you received communion, by the way. And you're thinking, we're almost done, baby. We got it out of the way. We got our hour in, and we can move on. Amen? I mean, I know there's people in the church that feel that way. You know how I know? Because I used to feel that way. So when we went back to church, I said to Susan, if nothing happens, I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to just get up and go sit there and be a hypocrite. So instead, I come here and I stand up here and be one instead. But the fact of the matter is, I wanted to see something happen, sort of, and it did. So we continue to move in our walk, and we should all be doing the same. And what we need to know now is when I would meet these people and talk to them about going to church, as things were starting to happen for me, I remember this one conversation very clearly, and this gentleman is telling me about his close to 70-plus years of going to church every Sunday. And I thought, wow, well, tell me about that. Well, what do you mean? Well, you come to church every Sunday, and you've been doing it for 70-some-odd years. What's that mean? I mean, tell me what that means to you, because I'm just starting to figure stuff out, and I'm not even 30 yet, and I'm thinking, how am I going to keep doing this? And you know what he said to me? This is going to be super inspirational. It's just what you do. 70-something years sitting in the pew because it's just what you do. You know how inspiring that was to me? Zero, just like it is for you, amen? That is not inspiring. So this is the good news. At least 30-some percent of the people who used to sit in the pew because it was the thing to do are now just saying, I don't think I'm a Christian. We have eliminated an obstacle, thanks be to God. The Spirit of God is moving in such a way that people aren't just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian because everybody says they're a Christian. We have the same opportunity that Peter had on this day in Acts to refer back to what was really going on, because there's a bunch of people out there now that are saying, I'm not a Christian, but what they are saying is, what's going on? And we can say, hey, I know what's going on, amen. I know what it looks like when the Spirit of God is moving. I know how Jesus has entered into my life and changed my world and saved me from my sin with his very body and blood. And I know where you can go to find out for yourself. So don't stand there going, I think there's something happening in the world, but I don't know what it is. When the Spirit of God is moving, and it's clearly obvious everywhere we turn, amen? You've seen it, I suspect. Anybody seen the Spirit of God moving lately? I mean, y'all need to get out more. That's all I can say. The Spirit of God is moving. And if you're missing it, and you've just been hanging out for 70 years in the pew, please come talk to me. My goodness. This is real, brothers and sisters. We either believe it or we don't. And if you're just doing this out of your duty to what, I don't know, I would say, ask what's going on. So Peter heard that. What's going on? And somebody said, oh, they're drunk. And he goes, ah, they're not drunk. It's too early for that. What you're seeing is what the prophet Joel has said. The prophet that you all have been trained to read and the one that you know. So we live in a world that's saying, I think something's happening bigger than myself, but I'm not willing to say what it is because you know what? They don't know what's going on. What they're really saying to you is, something's happening, but I don't know what it is. Sound familiar? Same story, isn't it? We're in the same place. You know what happened the same day as things continued and Peter continued to share the word of God? Do you know what happened? 3,000 people came to know Jesus because Peter, of all people, stood up and proclaimed the word of God and pointed them to Christ. Because they saw something happen, and they said, what's going on? And Peter spoke up and said, this is what's going on. We now live in a world that isn't hiding in the pew, going, I'm going to get my hour in and sit back and see how it goes. We're living in a world where people are saying, I know there's something bigger than myself here, but what's going on? And brothers and sisters, this is why today is so important that we hear, this isn't a celebration of the birthday of the Christian church. This is a celebration of the fact that we now, in these last days, live with the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Amen? For one purpose only, and that is to bring glory to God and to carry the good news of the gospel, the salvation that we have received through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, to a world that's standing there going, what's going on? What's going on? Do you know what's going on? You don't. Okay, this is going to take longer. I'm going to need a stool. Brothers and sisters, you know what's going on. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Yes. Can you feel the power of the Spirit moving in your very own community right here, right now? Look at the last year when we had brothers and sisters who in other congregations who were afraid to have a stewardship campaign because they were too concerned about the worldly. You had leadership that said, I know this sounds crazy, but and it feels a little weird doing this, but I think this is the time to raise $5.5 million or $5,500. $5.5 million would be better. If somebody out there heard that, write the check to Holy Innocents. But the fact we already got the $550, so you can just bring the rest. you just bring the $5 million. But the fact, because you know why? Because we know what to do with it, don't we? We know that the world has needs, and we know that we can free ourselves from the burdens of the world so that we can use the resources God gives us for the carrying out of the mission of sharing the gospel. And the power is in you. That's why we're here today, to remember it, to grasp it, to celebrate it, to claim it, to be the church. We don't want to just sit in a pew and wonder why we're here, although sometimes we all do. I mean, let's face that. There are times, I'm not going to lie. It's a little harder for me to get away with, because if I'm sitting there wondering why I'm here in the middle of church, we're all in big trouble. I try to wonder those things during the week. But the fact is, today, the opportunity that the Holy Spirit has afforded us by finally moving through the hearts of those who have just followed a pattern of what I like to call their inherited faith. They go to church because grandma went to church and took their parents, and then their parents took them to church, so they go to church too. You know what? Just doesn't happen that often anymore. It just stopped happening, didn't it? How many of you, roughly in my age group, have adult children? How many of you have an adult child that doesn't go to church? Me! They're probably watching right now. I'm probably going to get some grief for it. My phone's probably going off in the sacristy. I'm here now. But it happens, right? I quit going to church when I was 11. You know why? Because I could. And man, I was happy. Until I wasn't. There had to be more. And with the urging of my lovely bride, I said, I'll go. But something better be going on. There ain't nothing going on, I'm not going. Well, for me, something was going on. Clearly. That's why I get to wear this inherited robe from my much taller brother. But I'd say this, brothers and sisters, we cannot forget the opportunity that God has created through the power of the Spirit by speaking into people's hearts that they already know that the grace is present. They just don't yet know how to define it and articulate it. That is our job. We can tell them. And there's over 50% of our neighbors who are waiting to hear. The Holy Spirit is moving and making place for them to hear what God is saying. Just as happened in the book of Acts this morning, they didn't hear anything new, but they heard it in a new way. They heard the Word of God, and the Word of God wasn't something they had in their mind or in their intellect. It was something that permeated their very heart to the depth of their soul, so that they would come to know Christ, that they would come to know what we know. And brothers and sisters, we are there now. Over half of our neighbors, half of our brothers and sisters are sitting outside these doors, wandering in this world, well aware that there's something bigger than themselves happening as we're coming through the end of this pandemic, and they don't know how. They're wondering, and they're scared, and they're confused, and they're nervous, and they're seeing the acts of God already in the way that they have been loved and cared for during this season when they were in need, and they are saying, what's going on? this day, I am begging you, be the church. This is the most important season most of us will see in our entire lifetimes as members of this church, his church. This is the most important season we will ever know, I promise you. The world is looking, the world is seeking, and the world is wondering what is going on. And what is going on is the salvation through Jesus Christ, very body and blood, is reconciling us to God himself. He is poured out on this church. This day we remember it. So I say to you, this day we should stand as Peter stood. Stand as Peter stood. And I mean stand. Only if you are ready, brothers and sisters, to hear the word of God, to hear the call of the Holy Spirit, not just sitting here having your ears tickled and wondering what's going on. I want you to be like Peter. I want you to hear what's going on and get up and pick up the word of God. Go out into the world and say, I'll tell you what's going on. You're not drunk. It's too early for that. What's going on is God is here, amen? God is present, amen? The Spirit of God is moving in his church, and there has not been a better opportunity than today to stand up like Peter, be bold, raise your voice, and say, I know what's going on. Do you know? I know what's going on. I know what's going on. Amen.